Thousands of people in Florida will have to find shelter tonight. They're likely sleep in an alley or under a thoroughfare. Hello and welcome to Sundial on WLRN. I'm Luis Hernandez. And they'll be allowed to do that. The U.S. Supreme Court recently dismissed a case out of Boise that banned people from sleeping in public places. Today's program is committed to the issue of homelessness. We have a panel discussion from officials across South Florida who shared their perspective on how to tackle homelessness in the region. And you might be surprised by some of their responses.
People bring clothing and food. It just becomes a source of disease, and it becomes very problematic.
Anything that facilitates making it easier to stay on the streets, I'm opposed to.
We want to hear from you. Email us your thoughts, sundial at WLRNnews.org, or send us a message on Facebook or Twitter at WLRN Sundial. All of that today on the program, First the News. Hello and welcome to Sundial on WLRN. I'm Luis Hernandez. Thanks so much for joining us. Many of us are preparing for the upcoming holiday celebrations. We'll be spending time with family and friends and eating some yummy holiday meals. For the homeless, the holidays present tough challenges, finding a place to sleep or a home-cooked meal. Today, we're going to look at the issue of homelessness in South Florida. Recently, a case was brought to the U.S. Supreme Court. It raised the question of whether police could arrest the homeless for sleeping in public places. The court decided not to hear it. We brought that to a panel of South Florida officials. Wendy Tippett is the Director of Human Services in Palm Beach County. Ben Sorensen is the former Vice Mayor of Fort Lauderdale, a current city commissioner. And Ron Book is head of the Homeless Trust in Miami-Dade. And we want to hear from you. Should local governments be able to criminalize homelessness? What responsibility should they have in helping them? Email us, sundial at WLRNnews.org, or send us a message on Facebook or Twitter at WLRN Sundial. From your experiences in dealing with this issue, I wanted to know, South Florida in general, do we care about the homeless? Wendy, let me start with you.
I believe that we do care. I definitely believe that the general population does care about the homeless and the homeless families that are sleeping on our streets. We passed a penny sales tax in Palm Beach County that's going to contribute about $33 million to the homeless issue and to providing housing for very low-income and low-income individuals.
Ben, what about you? What do you think? Do you think that and not just the residents of South Florida, but obviously politicians, the organizations, everybody. I mean, do we care enough?
Yes, we care. We've had amazing number of businesses led by AutoNation as an example who've stepped forward and said, we care. And we're going to commit $500,000 to actually trying to do something about this and folks that are going to jump in and support it. What my experience of the biggest challenge is, people care, businesses care, service providers care, but caring's not enough. And a lot of times the average resident, average citizen doesn't know what to do. And then one of the other biggest challenges is the people who might know what to do don't always coordinate well.
Ron, your take on this.
First of all, I would say to you that while Miami-Dade County is criticized oftentimes for not getting anything right, I would say to you in my 25 years of chairing the full Homeless Trust Board, Executive Committee, Finance Committee, and the only individual that's actually served for the entire 25 years of the Homeless Trust's existence, we do homelessness right in Miami-Dade. And that's why for six different times under both Republican and Democratic administrations, HUD has named our program as a national best practice model. But that really isn't the question. The question is enough. There's always more to do. And it doesn't matter whether you're in Miami-Dade, Broward, or Palm Beach. There's always more.
You talk about more, and this question to all of you as well. Ron, I'll start with you. What, if anything, is right now the most pressing issue?
I actually have to say to you that our Achilles heel, which we recognized 18 years ago, was housing. That is the key, because HUD doesn't want us continuing to deal with emergency and shelter placements. And what we have left on our streets, which is about 72-73% of that population are in that chronic and population, and they're shelter resistant. It's about housing first and putting them into housing. But when you ask me about an issue, well, I point to that. Our focus for the next 365 days are on youth and elderly, where we have some very unique issues going on right now.
Ben Sorensen, is it about housing? Is it about mental health? Is it about drug addiction? What's the biggest challenge in Broward County right now?
You know, Ron hit it on the head. The way you end homelessness is get people into houses. And the, you know, far and away national best practice has really shifted towards this housing first. We've been doing that in an incredibly accelerated fashion here in Broward County and the city of Fort Lauderdale, and it has been a tremendous success. Now, you can't just house folks. You have to have wraparound supportive services, case management. You have to have great mental health providers and so forth that are helping these folks once they get into housing, then getting the assistance and services they need. If you don't have the complete package and funding to support that, you're not going to have great success.
Wendy Tippett, is that the case in Palm Beach County, or is there something else that stands out in your community?
Absolutely. I echo everything that Ron and Ben have said. Probably another big challenge that we're looking at is the continued cuts in the Sadowski funding at a state level. Palm Beach County was the real estate tax fund that is supposed to be dedicated to providing affordable housing for the state of Florida. Palm Beach County has an allocation of about $17 million annually, and in the last year we got $2 million. So it's a fund that's often rated by the state legislatures to make the budget upright, so to speak. And that money we're unable to house. We've usually housed between 300 and 400 families and individuals who are homeless with that money, as well as use it to build new housing, to provide gap funding, etc. And without that, we're really scrambling on how to make that happen.
Wendy couldn't be more correct. What's happened in Florida is by all of the tax cuts that have occurred in the last 20 years, and a significant resistance to new taxes, fees, et cetera, the legislature, when there's a shortfall, start looking at trust funds, and they sweep them, and they put them into the general revenue pot, and then they start spending them on other things.
So what's the excuse now? We've been on the rise. The economy's strong.
Except if you look at the revenues coming into the state, and we monitor those in my firm, in my private life, in a major way, we monitor those revenue estimating conferences. And our sales tax numbers are down, our premiums tax numbers are down, and our corporate tax numbers are down. And we're going to have greater needs this session, and there's not enough cash. We have significant needs in the corrections department. You've got the governor's proposal for teacher pay raises and teacher bonuses. It's almost $1 billion. But what Wendy is saying is, and what I wanted to add to, is when the Sadowski Act Trust Fund was created, and it's a dock stamp on real estate transactions, they sold that as a mechanism to create affordable housing, workforce housing, and housing affordable for the extremely low-income population, because they'll never meet the area median income of traditional workforce and affordable housing.
Governor DeSantis has said in his latest budget proposal that all money in the Sadowski Fund will be allocated for affordable housing development. Wendy, I start with you. Do you have confidence in the governor?
No, it's been traditionally, it's been rated. And I'm sure Ron has the exact figures. I don't, but I believe the governor said the same thing last year. And we all had confidence in him last year, and we've seen what happened that didn't come through. And as Ron said, with tax money down, they're going to again sweep the the trust funds to make up for the shortfall in the state budget.
Ben Sorensen, you know, the session starting in January because of the election, so it's going to be early. I don't know if you've had the chance to talk to any of our state reps about this, and what are you thinking and feeling as we go into that session?
Yep, I talked to our state House of Representatives and state senators all the time about this. We met with them as a city commission here in the city of Fort Lauderdale, and this was a top priority. And I appreciate the governor's position, and the buck stops and starts in my experience, and Ron and Wendy probably know better than I do, but the state House of Representatives for the state of Florida have to support this and really have to be the driving force behind this. And it just seems like they are not willing to do that. And I think, the delegation in Miami and Broward and West Palm could really be the driving force behind this. And if they were to support this and align with the governor, then I think we could have some big wins.
We're talking with a panel of South Florida officials on homeless issues. Wendy Tippett is the Director of Human Services in Palm Beach County. Ben Sorensen is former vice mayor and now a city commissioner in Fort Lauderdale. And Ron Book is the chair of the Homeless Trust in Miami-Dade. What responsibility should local governments have in helping the homeless? Email us your thoughts, sundial@wlrnnews.org, or send us a message on Facebook or Twitter at WLRN Sundial. You can also text us the word HI to 305-602-2646. Again, that's the word HI, H-I, to 305-602-2646, and we'll include your message on the air. Let's get back to our conversation. What are your thoughts on this idea? How governments and the police, how communities, again, deal with the homeless? Ron, I'll start with you.
Well, first of all, we can't arrest ourselves out of homelessness. It's ridiculous and absurd to think you can't. Our courts here, both our state courts and our federal courts, have spoken loudly on the subject that it is not a crime to be homeless and you're entitled to sleep on the streets if that's what you want to do. Now, are there things that can be done to make it more difficult and painful to sleep wherever you want to sleep? The answer is yes. But what the Pottinger lawsuit was about 25 years ago, almost 30 now, was just that. That was the Pottinger agreement, which was the settlement agreement that was entered into 25 and a half years ago, which resulted in safe zones where you couldn't arrest people for, if you will, those life needs.
Right.
Urinating, defecating, unfortunately, in otherwise public places. I believe Pottinger had been misinterpreted by law enforcement and code people in the city of Miami. They know well how I felt. Then about 5 years ago, they moved to amend Pottinger over my strong objections. And I warned everybody then that what would happen is Pottinger would ultimately go away. And then a year ago, as you well know, in the federal courts, after lengthy hearings, and I testified, and I, frankly, at that point, had to agree. Pottinger's usefulness had gone away. It had become an impediment to us as we get closer and closer to reaching an end to homelessness in Miami-Dade. So those life-sustaining activities, I don't see the case is on appeal now. I don't see police in Dade County arresting their way out of it.
Ben Sorensen, unfortunately, Fort Lauderdale has had national moments in dealing with homelessness. We look at the arrest of Arnold Abbott. He was a 90-year-old man feeding the homeless. I know that the issue was about permits and where you could feed the homeless. And there was the controversy at Stranahan Park. And again, that was where they felt that it was a health risk to have these people living there. They were moved out. A bulldozer came in, though, and removed people's stuff. And both of these things made national headlines, and that's not good for the city. But your thoughts on this idea, as Ron said, we can't arrest our way out of this, but what do we do?
Yeah, so this was actually one of the driving factors that led me to run for elected office, is seeing what happened to the homeless in the city of Fort Lauderdale. And from a faith, integrity, personal perspective, it was completely unacceptable to me. And so when I got elected, I literally moved my office from City Hall down to this encampment and pitched a tent and literally sat there and worked with the homeless and had people, anyone that wanted to meet with me regarding city business, had to come sit in the heat under the tent, stare at the encampment and talk to me about whatever they wanted to talk to me about. And ultimately, we would talk about homelessness and the challenges that we faced. And ultimately, we were able, through collaboration with the county, service providers, businesses, to put all of those folks in that encampment into homes with service providers, and the success has been tremendous. Part of the reason that this was successful is we use the court system not as a penalizing factor in society, but the court system as an uplifting sector. And here's what we established. First one in the state of Florida, a community court. And what it does is homeless individuals who are arrested for nonviolent misdemeanors, instead of sending them to the county jail and them sitting in the jail for a week or two or a day or two or however long and then getting released and they're back out on the street without any improvement in their station of life. Instead of that, they come to community court that's held in the city of Fort Lauderdale City Commission chambers. Judge Tudor, the Broward County chief judge, and Judge Barner, a judge in Broward County, serve as the presiding judges there. We have a surrounding in that courtroom service providers that are willing to help and support through addiction recovery, mental health, housing, and so forth. And the sentencing is no longer go to jail. The sentencing is, here's your caseworker. Here's where you're going to spend the night tonight. Here's the addiction recovery center you're going to go to. Here's the food. Here's your job training.
And there's follow-up to make sure people are doing these things, right?
Not only is there follow-up, but part of this sentencing, in quotes, is when you graduate from this program in 3 to 4 months, you will come back to the program and serve as a mentor, a volunteer for individuals that are just coming into this program.
Wendy Tippett, your take on this. I want to know Palm Beach County municipalities, the county government, where do you tend to find the homeless congregating? And do you have those issues of the public safety in parks, the public safety, you know, in the downtown area or anywhere near residencies?
So, yes, our homeless tend to congregate at the beaches, the parks, behind buildings and cars. Probably our most prominent population are in Curry Park in West Palm Beach, and then in John Prince Park, located in Lake Worth. And there is a public concern with safety, but it's mostly around mental health issues, substance abuse issues. But again, I kind of echo what both gentlemen have said. You can't arrest your way out of this. And as hard as citizens have tried or officials have tried to say, gee, you're littering in the park or you're blocking a handicap accessible sidewalk, you need to arrest them. My take on that is always, gee, if I parked my car across the sidewalk, would I expect to be arrested, or would I expect for that police officer to say, can you please move? So we can't treat the homeless any different than we want to be treated. I mean, they're people. They're just the same as you and I.
Do you get a lot of complaints, though, from people who say, wait a second, you know what, I don't want to walk downtown and, you know, I'm going to see some homeless, maybe the parks. I mean, I want to enjoy the park, but I don't feel it's safe. Do you get those complaints? I wonder how you respond to them.
We do. Parks and Recreation probably get more of them than we do. And then, of course, the local commissioners get complaints as well. It's the same response. I mean, you've got public bathrooms. Are they locked? Are they accessible? Are they policed? That's kind of our take on it is they have to be accessible. There has to be security. If there's a mental illness, we have homeless outreach teams that go throughout the county that you can call, and they'll come out and they'll do an evaluation. They'll offer housing if housing is available. And again, just to kind of echo what Ron said, if you don't have housing available, then where do you expect these folks to go?
Ben Sorensen, I mean, you're the politician on this panel. You know, when you get these complaints, you have people who will say, listen, you know, I mean, it's got to be the greater good, right? What do you, how do you respond to that? Because as Wendy said, we have to treat everybody like human beings.
We do, and we will. And, you know, one of the pieces here is specifically with Fort Lauderdale. The average Fort Lauderdale resident spends 63% of their income on housing and transportation. 63% of their income on housing and transportation. This makes our area one of the most cost-burdened areas in the country. When you look at average median income and cost of living and housing and transportation. So we have a real challenge. And what I say to folks is, we have a short-term solution, and that's funding, that's rapid rehousing, that's supportive services. The long-term is we need housing, and we have as a city and as a region really have to commit to this. So what we're doing in Fort Lauderdale is we're taking city land and we're turning it into affordable housing and workforce housing developments. We are partnering with the county to incentivize affordable housing developers. So that's the long term, and that's what I tell people. And then in the short term, it's we're going to send a rapid response team out there to assess this individual and work with them and try to get them off the street. The challenge is we have a chunk of folks that are chronically homeless. I just took a seat out to a bus stop right in downtown Fort Lauderdale and was spending time with four folks, two of whom are veterans, all four of whom basically live on the streets, don't want to go anywhere, refused, you know, free help, free supportive services. And Ron and Miami has done one of the amazing jobs on multiple levels. One of the things they have is something called the Lazarus Project, which I'd like to emulate here, which is treating those folks with mental health issues on the streets, getting them stabilized, getting them medication and support they need, and then that opening the door for better supportive services.
You're listening to a one-hour special of Sundial focused on the issue of homelessness. We're talking with Wendy Tippett, Director of Human Services in Palm Beach County, Ben Sorensen, former Vice Mayor of Fort Lauderdale, and Ron Book, Chair of the Homeless Trust in Miami-Dade. And we've heard from some of you on social media, like Eric Temple, who told us on Facebook last week, unfortunately, we have homeless. There's no question as to the right for homeless to sleep in public. It's just been violated for way too long. The Supreme Court has no option. They will rule that homeless have the right to sleep in public, and then the will to fix the problem will suddenly emerge. And we want to hear more from you. Share your thoughts on how we can best support the homeless. Find us on Facebook or Twitter at WLRN Sundial. We'll come back with more from our panel in just a moment. Welcome back to Sundial on WLRN. We're devoting the hour to homeless issues in South Florida. In the last segment, we discussed how a former Miami policy, the Pottinger Agreement, is no more. And that's led to fears from homeless advocates that police could start harassing the homeless. What are the challenges for cities across South Florida trying to deal with homeless populations, but also at the same time protecting their rights? Email us your thoughts, sundial at WLRNnews.org, or send us a message on Facebook or Twitter at WLRN Sundial. NJ from Miami texted us, "Hi, as a police officer in Miami, I understand we can't arrest the problem away. But if we can't remove the homeless from places like the airport or public buildings, these places will become overrun with hundreds of people who are not there for the intended purpose." Let's return to our panel with Wendy Tippett, Director of Human Services in Palm Beach County, Ben Sorensen, former Vice Mayor of Fort Lauderdale and a current city commissioner, and Ron Book, the Chair of the Homeless Trust in Miami-Dade.
You know, when we talk about homelessness, obviously, and we're not just talking about people who are challenged with trying to find a place to live. We're talking about people who are dealing with all kinds of issues, and it could be mental health issues. It could be addiction to opioids or other illicit drugs. Wendy Tippett, I want to come back to you and start on this. The Jerome Golden Behavioral Center was a key place in helping this population, helping homeless, helping people dealing with these addictions and mental health issues. They shut down. We're waiting to see what happens next. But the loss of that center, what has it meant so far? What's been happening lately in making sure people still get the help needed?
So we have banded together as a with nonprofits, government entities, have come together and created a crisis line for folks who were being served by Jerome Golden who don't know where to go. There are a couple of nonprofits who have taken over the cases from Jerome Golden. The county has stepped in with the housing piece and has gotten HUD to transfer over Jerome Golden's HUD contracts to the county. So there's a whole lot of movement going on in regards to Jerome Golden, just trying to shore up and make sure that the safety net doesn't fail for those who are needed the most.
And look, Palm Beach County, you're talking about really the epicenter, one of the worst counties, not just in the state, in the country. We talk about the opioid problem. What's been the greatest challenge for the county, for the communities like Boynton and Delray Beach especially, in trying to tackle this problem?
So the county hired a, for lack of a better word, a drug czar who has managed to put together some public-private partnerships. Southeast Florida Behavioral Health Network is a major, all the funding goes through that entity. But probably one of the biggest crisis that we have in our community is lack of inpatient beds, and I'm sure that Ben and Ron will echo that as well. There's not a lot of inpatient beds around that aren't at capacity. So being able to come up with, again, a client-centered housing that can deal with issues such as addiction and not making it a criteria of being served. You can get into housing and still have an addiction and, you know, slowly but surely, hopefully through your caseworker, through your social worker, you'll be able to access the treatment that's needed. But I want to be clear that just because you have an addiction or you're mentally ill does not prohibit you from accessing housing, nor should it. That's the housing first model.
Ben Sorensen, is that the case in Broward County, as you said, lack of inpatient beds?
Yeah, definitely a big challenge. We have great providers that are, you know, part of the solution set, but we need more. I want to ask Wendy, Mission United, is that something that you all have piloted in Palm Beach?
So Mission United is just coming to Palm Beach. We have been meeting with them. Right now we're doing a 100-day challenge. Well, we just finished a 100-day challenge to house 100 vets in 100 days, and I think there's 42 more on our list, and we will be at functional zero. So we're very excited about that.
It's a United Way program of Broward County that started here. I was part of the group that kind of got it going, and it's been spreading and serving veterans that are homeless and have other needs. So I just wanted to ask.
That's a great model.
We're talking with a panel of South Florida officials on homeless issues. Wendy Tippett is the Director of Human Services in Palm Beach County. Ben Sorensen is former vice mayor and now a city commissioner in Fort Lauderdale. And Ron Book is the chair of the Homeless Trust in Miami-Dade. What responsibility should local governments have in helping the homeless? Email us your thoughts, sundial@wlrnnews.org. Or send us a message on Facebook or Twitter at WLRN Sundial. You can also text us the word HI to 305-602-2646. Again, that's the word HI, H-I, to 305-602-2646. And we'll include your message on the air. Let's get back to our conversation.
You know what, Ron, we heard this earlier. Remind us again of the Lazarus Project.
Well, first of all, before I get to Lazarus, for just 20 seconds, we reached the end of veterans homelessness now 1 year ago. We were held to the tightest set of standards that the feds have held any continuum to across the country. There can't be a greater effort by any of the COCs around the state, including Broward and Palm Beach, than reaching the end of veteran homelessness. We shouldn't have a vet on the street even a day. But moving beyond that, Lazarus, the deputy director of our outreach program, we send 21 outreach teams out on the streets every day, 7 days a week, much the way Broward and Palm Beach do, brought us an idea for us to pilot. And that was, you know, occasionally you wake up and you realize, gee whiz, you don't have the answers to everything. Why weren't we doing this before? So we paid to pilot sending a group of medical professionals out to the streets every single day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, to meet the homeless on the street and provide them not just with a checkup on how's your health care, but more importantly, making sure they're getting their prescriptive meds. We know that that dominant population have mental health issues. Most of them have co-occurring issues, but mental health issues. We also know that one of the biggest problems with individuals, whether they're homeless or they're not homeless, is getting them to take their meds and certainly the right meds.
That's a complicated conversation to have.
Oh, it is.
How do you do that? How do you even begin that conversation?
Well, we piloted it for a year and we're 5 years later and I'm paying for it in full. And it's not a pilot. It's a permanent program. And those folks go out to the streets every day and they don't just make sure they hand Bobby or Mary or Sue or Mike their pills. They watch them take them like they're in a hospital, like they're in a long-term care facility. They watch them take them. Why? Because they're safer to themselves, they're safer to the community, and my outreach teams have a far better chance of talking that chronic individual with mental health issues to come in and off the streets if they're stable and lucid. We know it because we've done it, and the numbers are astronomically successful. Ben has come down and traveled with our Lazarus team. He's come back and met in a round table to get the opportunity to really see it firsthand. It works, and I don't know why continuums across the country aren't all required to do that.
Your outreach team, by the way, are these trained psychiatrists, or who are they?
So the outreach teams in Miami-Dade are referred to as the Green Shirts. And the Green Shirts, many of which, and they're employees, they're paid, they're full-time individuals. They are oftentimes formerly homeless individuals who have come back and are working within our system. And we have so many, hundreds of individuals that are now employed within our homeless continuum. Some are social workers, but most are not. But they know every homeless person on the streets by name, and they work to bring them in.
You know, I mean, Ben, he talked about you being there to see that. I wondered, you know, projects like that, or if you've seen any other community in the country that's tried something that has worked.
Yeah, we are open for any best practices, and you know what Ron's doing down there is just fantastic, and we're working now with Broward Health, our hospital system here, on developing a similar Lazarus project to replicate it. So we're trying to do that. I'm incredibly envious of what Ron and Wendy are doing, which is basically having a recurring funding stream for affordable housing, homelessness. That's something we in Broward County do not have, and we've got to do if we're really going to address this problem head on.
I want to just add, this conversation started, is it enough? The one thing Broward County lacks is resources. They don't have enough money on a recurring basis, and their source of funds doesn't grow. Mine does. Theirs doesn't. Wendy's will. Ben's won't. Till that problem of a growing recurring revenue stream is provided to the continuum in Broward County. Broward County, where I live, Broward County will never long-term solve the problem.
Yeah, and agree with Ron. And look, Ron, it's something you and I have talked about before. And Wendy, hearing what you're doing with the penny sales tax, I'd love to just connect offline and let's see if we can kind of put our brains together and I can try to be more like both of you in getting this done. And if you could help me move this to get a recurring funding stream, it'd be amazing.
We're going to return to our conversation on homeless issues in just a few moments. One of the challenges homeless people face is how to protect themselves when hurricanes threaten the area. In many situations, how would they even know what's coming? Earlier this year, WLRN reporter Lily Oppenheimer looked at that question. She spoke with a homeless man, Alan Brookins, in Overtown about the threat when Hurricane Irma was coming.
Doors open. It's not that you're going to have a comfortable bed because a lot of people's going to be there. You won't have to sleep on mats on the floor, but there's going to feed you, and at least you won't be in the rain.
You can learn more about that story and other coverage of homelessness at WLRN.org. Now, we're going to continue to hear from you as well. Should local governments be able to criminalize the homeless? What responsibility should they have in helping them? Sam Typen tweeted at us saying, local governments should care for, not criminalize homeless people. That's why I'm proud of ACLU Miami, the Florida Justice Institute, and others for suing the city of Miami to enforce the historic Pottinger Agreement protecting Miami homeless. Another South Florida listener texted us, basically a four-point plan for homeless citizens. I propose prevention, education, rehabilitation, and jobs. Also, every homeless person does not have mental health or addiction issues. The job pay is substandard here, and the rent is out of control. Florida needs rent control. Let us know what you think. Find us on Facebook or Twitter at WLRN Sundial. Email us, sundial@WLRNnews.org. More on this coming up next. Welcome back to Sundial on WLRN. Let's wrap up our hour-long special on homelessness. And remember, you could share your thoughts. Find us on Facebook or Twitter at WLRN Sundial. We're talking with Wendy Tippett, Director of Human Services in Palm Beach County, Ben Sorensen, former Vice Mayor of Fort Lauderdale and current City Commissioner, and Ron Book, Head of the Homeless Trust in Miami-Dade. We started the conversation talking about homeless camps and the basic services like bathrooms and showers. One of the stories that had popped up here in Miami-Dade, but we see this in a lot of different communities across the country, is you talk about the homeless and you talk about camps. And a lot of times they form camps and will live in parks or live in, they'll cluster into certain areas. I know that this former city that I lived in, Las Vegas, recently passed a very controversial bill on this, trying to close down these camps. And I wanted to get a sense, and Wendy, I'm going to start with you. It's not just about camps. It's about having bathrooms available and showers available. Basic things for people to have that we all take for granted in Palm Beach County. Do you see the issue with camps? I know that they do have a portable shower unit truck, a nonprofit is providing. But do you see that as a big problem in Palm Beach County right now? How is it being handled?
The camps that are most prominent are always the ones that are talked about. And those camps are in the parks. So they're in public parks. The city of West Palm has kind of moved their homeless folks out of the downtown area through a variety of different methods. But they still have a pocket as well. So the camps that we see most often in Palm Beach County, again, are on public parks land, and it is problematic. It's problematic in a number of ways, and probably the biggest way is, you know, a lot of folks want to help the homeless. We started off the interview with that question. But people bring clothing and food and chairs and grills and tents and all of these things that they think that the homeless need. And what happens is it collects and it collects and it gets wet and it collects and rodents come and it just becomes a source of disease and it becomes very problematic in a short sentence.
So there's an interesting point. I want to ask you both about that. But first, let me start with this. Did I hear you say that you're going to move that camp out?
No, we're not going to move the camp because we don't have enough shelter beds. We don't have enough housing in our community. And the camps have, in large parks, the homeless have been, really had several camps, and parks and law enforcement have moved those camps together into, you know, one area, but still, we do have the problem of camps. They're just not as prominent.
And what about the bathrooms and the showers? Well, you know, there are not enough of those either.
So we do have shower trucks that nonprofits run that come in. Unfortunately, when you bring all of that stuff into a park, it kind of becomes the designated homeless area, which is something parks don't want. And really, the public doesn't want. It's a public park, and it becomes known as a homeless congregate site, so to speak.
Ron, this is a story that was in the Miami Herald recently, again, about the use of bathrooms, not having enough public bathrooms. Where are they going right now? Where are the bathrooms?
Well, first of all, let me back up a half a step. Las Vegas, we know a bunch about because they've been here. They've been here a half a dozen times. I've met with the mayor several times. I've met with several council members who have come here, and the management of the city has been here several times. They have been looking to attempt to replicate our COC. I understand their frustration, much the way I understand the downtown business community's frustration in the community. We dismantled 99.9% of our encampments. Our encampments today are largely sexual offender encampments. We dismantle those as well. The reason we dismantle the sexual offender camps isn't because we're out there to try to scatter them or to disrupt them. The Florida Department of Health, when they finally reach a point, as Wendy's describing, where people are eating all in one place, dropping all their garbage, urinating and defecating, it becomes a health hazard. When that happens, we go in. We're in the process of doing one right now, which is on Northwest 36th Street and approximately Northwest 37th Avenue. We post a notice. We give them 21 days. They're not gone. Law enforcement will do what they need to do. We then have to go in and clean it up, disinfect it, literally dig up dirt, put it into dump trucks, hazardous uniforms, and incinerate it. That said, at the end of the day, public bathrooms, showers, I'm not a fan of. And I'm not a fan of them, first of all, anything that facilitates making it easier to stay on the streets,
yeah,
I'm opposed to. I'll come back in my closing if you give me the opportunity to talk about feeding programs, because I am diametrically opposed to that instant gratification folks get feeding people on the streets, but I'll come back to that. Somebody else wants to pay for showers and bathrooms, God bless them. I'm not doing that. I've got scarce resources. My job's to end homelessness, not perpetuate it. There are some in downtown now, and as Wendy has just described in parks, they have become the magnet location in downtown where people congregate, when they had the portable ones, and now that they've built those couple of permanent ones downtown. All the same things Wendy's described are what you have here where we've done it.
She also said something else interesting. I want your take on this, Ron, is just ordinary folks, out of their, you know, compassion, they want to help. They give stuff to the homeless. They give them stuff. But what I'm hearing is that actually may hurt. Really?
It does. Look, first of all, somebody dumps spare change in a panhandler's bucket, cup, and hats. You get instant gratification. I'm doing something. Here's what I'm sure of. None of that spare change. We're for real change, not spare change. That change that they're dumping is buying no beds, probably no real food, no services. We did a survey a dozen years ago. Zogby did a survey. The belief is that over $40 million in Miami-Dade alone is being dumped into buckets, cups, and hats. I can tell you what I can do with $40 million, and I can end homelessness in Miami-Dade County overnight with $40 million, because I can house every one of those 1,050 people that are on the streets right now and give them services.
I've heard
with that $40 million.
I've heard this just anecdotally, but is this? I wanted to see your take on this. Are there people who, they're shelters, there's opportunity, but they don't want it? They refuse it?
Correct.
Okay.
We know what that population, again, I alluded to it earlier. The largest percentage of that 73% or so of what's left on my streets in Miami-Dade County is a shelter-resistant population. They want housing. Ben, Wendy both alluded to this. South Florida and in Miami-Dade in particular, the toughest rental housing market in the United States of America. I didn't proclaim that. The real estate experts nationwide have declared the last 5 years the toughest rental market. So when I put somebody in a housing first unit that Ben, Wendy, and I have described, it costs me about $18,000 recurring expense for that individual. About 12 or 13 of it goes to rent. The balance go for those wraparound services and the case management that I amortize over the population that I'm bringing in.
We're talking with a panel of South Florida officials on homeless issues. Wendy Tippett is the Director of Human Services in Palm Beach County. Ben Sorensen is former vice mayor and now a city commissioner in Fort Lauderdale. And Ron Book is the chair of the Homeless Trust in Miami-Dade. What responsibility should local governments have in helping the homeless? Email us your thoughts, sundial@wlrnnews.org, or send us a message on Facebook or Twitter at WLRN Sundial. You can also text us the word HI to 305-602-2646. Again, that's the word HI, H-I, to 305-602-2646, and we'll include your message on the air. Let's get back to our conversation.
This question of ending homelessness. There have been numerous programs. There was, Palm Beach County was one of the counties involved in the End Homelessness in 10 years. I believe it was a HUD program. Wendy Tippett, please clarify that for me, because it was a program that started in 2008. It ended in 2018, last year. And it was a 10-year program, which now the county is kind of revamping and starting over again. There won't be a timeline, but I mean, tell me a little bit about what that process was, and was it in any way successful?
So in 2008, HUD mandated that every community, really in 2007, they mandated that every continuum of care across the United States would have a 10-year plan to end homelessness in their community. We did that as well, much the same process that Ron described earlier. Business community, developers, nonprofits, government, all came together, sat down at a table, kind of knocked out what it would take to end homelessness. Fast forward 10 years, we decreased homelessness by about 40% in Palm Beach County. But again, we fell way short of meeting our goal of producing safe, affordable, decent housing, for and particularly for the very low and low-income individuals. So moving on into 2019, we have again sat down with several groups from system users, formerly homeless, the business community, government, foundations, and created another plan, not putting a cap of 10 years on it, but actually focused on how do we do system integration? How does the hospital system, which is a for-profit entity, realize, you know, how do we get them involved in the homeless world where they realize, as Ron said earlier, 13 admissions are costing you, $1 million. If you do half of that into housing, it will last forever. You're not just throwing away $1 million on somebody who doesn't have insurance because they're homeless and they don't know what to do when they have a cold, when they're coming off of a high, they've run a nail through their foot, whatever the case may be that caused that admission. So how do we begin to create cross-system systems of care in the for-profit world, the nonprofit world, the government, foundation, all of us collectively together?
And it's not just this approach again to trying to find the solution, but you're going to have these smaller challenges, I believe, right? It's like the 100-day challenge to, deal with, helping youth homeless, helping senior homelessness, helping veteran homelessness. What are those that you guys are planning?
We were very fortunate to participate in the 100-Day Challenge for Youth in 2017, and we managed to house 127 youth in 100 days and used some creative funding for it and actually received the Youth Award from the National Alliance on Homelessness last year as a result of it. And we've carried those 100 day, the philosophy behind that 100 days challenges into vets. And we're doing folks with HIV/AIDS who are homeless and also seniors. So they're very focused and very short in duration, but it allows a different cross-system sense of collaboration to come together. So we can begin to focus. If you can always get somebody on the hook for 90 days. Once you get them on the hook, then hopefully they stay on that hook.
Yeah. Ron, I mean, you know, when you're dealing with youth who are battling homelessness and seniors and veterans, very different groups, very different challenges.
Well, they are. And we, too, were in the 100-day challenge, housed almost 200 youth during the period. But you've touched on a number of things ending homelessness in your community. We see an end. We see the light at the end of the tunnel. It's a money issue, but we see a light at the end of the tunnel. Our Rent Connect program, which is so critical, where we're begging landlords, property managers, people who own units of housing to make it available to us. Our 305-349-RENT, call us. That's what we need to get to the end of homelessness in our community.
Again, been talking with Ron Book of the Homeless Trust here in Miami-Dade County. Also, Wendy Tippett, Director of Human Services in Palm Beach County. And Ben Sorensen, City Commissioner of Fort Lauderdale. And you can continue this conversation about homelessness. Find us on social media at WLRN Sundial. And that is Sundial for this Thursday, December 19th. Coming up next week on the program, we're going to bring you some of the best conversations we've had over the last couple of years. And don't forget, by the way, we have a book club. Find us on Facebook, the Sundial Book Club. Tell you what, let's go ahead and mention the title for January. We're going to be reading Don Davies' memoir, Mothers of Sparta. So get your book now. I'm Luis Hernandez for the whole crew. Happy Hanukkah, Merry Christmas. We're back on Monday, December 30th, live. Take care.